Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the September 1st meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature. Would you please stand with me while we pledge allegiance to the flag? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May we have the roll call, please?
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stein?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present.
We have quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Since our last meeting, we lost an attorney and the director of our assigned counsel program, Wes McDermott. He was a friend to many, came in and helped us when we needed someone who knew how to handle an office like that, who was an experienced criminal attorney. I wondered if we could have a moment of silence to remember Wes McDermott. Thank you. I don't think we have an executive session tonight. May want to move a few things up tonight so that we can help folks get home early on a nice summer evening. Legislators not included, of course. Carol, did you have a request?
Oh, I just had a request. Well, it depends on what people say, but I think that I know Dr. McKenzie showed up to address us under privilege of the floor. He contacted me about how to get here and when it was, and I just thought if people had questions of him, if he needed to leave, whether we could somehow move that up, if not under privilege of the floor, because we don't usually get into a back and forth, that when it's privilege of for the legislators, I could ask if people have questions or whatever, however the chair sees fit to do it, so that in case he needs to leave or move up the resolution.
Well, we're about to move to the privilege of the floor for the public. Why don't we see how many folks we have for that? I don't think we have too many tonight. And then if we can move up the resolution. How's that? I have two blue cards at this point. Privilege of the floor for the public is the opportunity that the public has to speak to us for up to 3 minutes. We do time that, and there's a screen to my left. We ask people who want to speak to please sign one of these blue cards, and they're in the back of the room. By signing the card, you're agreeing to the three-minute time limit. You're agreeing not to raise your voice. You're agreeing not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of peace. You're agreeing not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, you agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor, and you agree that if you cause a disruption and are asked to leave, you will leave the chambers. I have Rob McKenzie, Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairman Lane, legislators. My name is Dr. Rob McKenzie. I'm a retired general surgeon and hospital administrator with an interest in public health and safety. I'd like to speak to the resolution before you tonight calling for a health impact assessment of gas pipeline risks. Your resolution is modeled on those of the State Medical Society and the American Medical Association. I am a member of both organizations and familiar with their priorities and processes, but I speak tonight as a private citizen. We know a great deal about the damage that natural gas and propane pipelines cause as a result of accidents such as rupture or explosion. Since 1995, there have been 110 significant New York State pipeline incidents resulting in 23 fatalities, 110 significant injuries, and $85 million in property damage. Those are risk levels that we have thus far chosen to accept as a society without a lot of debate or call for change in pipeline operations. What we don't yet know much about are longer-term pipeline operation health risks. We do know that they involve many of the same processes and substances as those which recently led our health commissioner to recommend a moratorium on high-volume horizontal hydraulic fracturing. There is now suggestive but incomplete data indicating these long-term pipeline risks may be quite serious as well. In Europe, it is quite common now to invoke the precautionary principle to hold off on initiatives, even those predicted to yield substantial economic benefits, until they have been studied and shown to be safe based on accepted criteria. Our entrepreneurial, some would say cowboy, culture in the United States has in the past led many of our regulatory bodies to permit initiatives to proceed until they are studied and shown to be unsafe. Many feel the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which oversees interstate pipelines, takes this second approach. I would strongly recommend approval of this recommendation calling for an assessment of the long-term health risks of our pipeline system. Please understand that such an assessment may take years or more. So I would also encourage those of you who, like me, think that the precautionary principle is a good one to consider going further, as Dr. Zucker did, our health commissioner, and recommend a moratorium on further large-scale pipeline development in the county and the state, unless and until it can be shown by such a study to be safe. Thank you very much.
Next, I have Judy Pierpoint.
Hi, I'm Judy Pierpont. I live at 111 Pleasant Hollow Road in Dryden. I'm also speaking in favor of the resolution that Tompkins County join the AMA and the Medical Society of the State of New York in recognizing the potential impact on human health and the environment associated with natural gas infrastructure. I would also have supported two further resolves in the version presented to PEEQ. These urged a moratorium on new permits for all natural gas infrastructure projects until assessments are complete. The AMA lists documented health threats of emissions from all New York gas pipelines. In fact, the local smaller transmission and distribution pipelines may be more of a health hazard than large. They come closer to people, being situated near and in people's dwellings, kitchens, utility rooms, and places of business. Of course, it is the increased use and build-out of the smaller pipelines all over the state and the Northeast that is part of the driving force of build-out of larger pipelines to start with. So it would be inconsistent to call attention to the threats of large pipeline infrastructure without addressing the problems we create right here with potential increased use of gas and a new pipeline proposed through Dryden along West Dryden Road. I feel I have a particular responsibility to speak out about the threats of increased infrastructure as the Dominion pipeline runs through my property on Mount Pleasant in Dryden, and I have intervened formally in the Dominion New Markets proceeding. In my written submission of these comments, I say more about the risks of the increased volume of gas and the 60-year-old pipes. In general, Dominion's lack of responsiveness to people and towns along their routes indicates that it now falls to the state and municipalities to make sure that their citizens are not exposed to hazards. One of my concerns, and the reason I would have urged this body to adopt a resolution promoting a moratorium, is that we have generally not yet adjusted our policies to the knowledge that pipelines carrying fracked gas present similar threats to health and the environment as drilling does, which most municipalities in Tompkins County have banned. In regards to pipelines, our governing bodies are clinging to outdated assumptions. I cite the AMA in their assessment of the need for the study, the seventh whereas in the resolution before you. Whereas the chemical and radioactive emissions associated with high-volume hydrofracking are not limited to the drilling and extraction technologies at well pads, but are also detected all along the extensive intersecting network of natural gas pipelines, compressor stations, metering stations, and other facilities associated with the entire natural gas infrastructure. And the ninth whereas, reiterating the known health threats. Whereas the pipeline infrastructure exposes humans and animals to the same chemical and radioactive emissions as gas released at drilling sites, which include dangerous mixtures of contaminants, such as carcinogens, mutagens, endocrine disruptors, neurotoxins, respiratory irritants, mucocutaneous irritants and toxins, and hematological and cardiovascular toxins, and which are especially damaging to the development of embryos, fetuses, and children, as well as reproduction and survival of livestock, poultry, and wild animals. Of course, the threat of climate chaos is also a compelling reason to rethink any further build-out of gas infrastructure. Human well-being and health are utterly dependent on the state of our environment. Any new building of pipelines that increases methane use is inconsistent with our commitment in the county to reducing greenhouse gases and at odds with our own intentions to preserve a livable world in which health and well-being are possible. I urge you to pass at least the one remaining resolve in the resolution before you and ask you to bring consistency to your policies relating to gas infrastructure in our midst. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. I realized I neglected to ask folks to please silence their cell phones and other electronic devices. Please do that. That includes legislators. And I forgot to mention that the emergency exits are in the back of the room to my right and to the front of the room in my left. The next speaker I have is Adam Law. If there's anyone else who wants to speak, please sign a blue card and send it up. That's the last one I have in hand.
Thank you. I'm also speaking on the resolution protecting public health from the impacts of large-scale new pipeline projects and compressor stations. My name's Adam Law. I'm a local resident and physician. I'm also a founding board member and current board president of Physicians, Scientists, and Engineers for Healthy Energy. We're a scientific, evidence-based institute committed to bring science to energy policy, based in Ithaca, Oakland, and New York City. I have reviewed the scientific literature and also the medical literature on the direct effects of the transmission of natural gas and its related infrastructure, including compressor stations and storage. There is scant scientific data that directly addresses leaks and health hazards. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation, between 1995 and 2014, transmission accidents in the U.S. showed 102 severe incidents with 42 fatalities and 174 injuries and $1.75 billion of property damage. However, the absence of evidence does not mean the absence of harm. The proposed build-up of infrastructure in New York State, which may well impact Tompkins County, presents at present an imponderable risk. However, these are scientifically answerable questions, as we now have great tools to study fugitive emissions. This includes high-flow samplers, mobile samplers, FLIR cameras for transmission and storage, and canister sampling and passive samplers for compressors. We also have novel epidemiological tools based upon geographic information systems and integrating them with health data that can create descriptive information that helps us understand the potential scale of the risk, although it doesn't fully address causality. As a result, the American Medical Association, often seen as a very conservative organization, and the Medical Society for the State of New York have passed the quoted proposals in support of a health impact assessment. I certainly support this and also support the previous speakers in at least a call for a pause while this is going on, if not in a moratorium. So there are two larger issues I think we need to address here. Firstly, the source of this natural gas is largely from unconventional natural gas extraction from shale formation using high-volume hydraulic fracturing, a technique banned from New York State on the question of adverse health consequences. The ethics of building up a conduit system that facilitates this industry just outsources this harm to our neighbors. Secondly, methane is a powerful greenhouse gas and in a 20-year window has 86-fold the warming potential of CO2. The conclusion of a key Nature paper this year by McLeod and Eakins stated, large portions of the reserve base and even a greater proportion of the resource base should not be produced if a temperature rises to remain below 2 degrees centigrade.
Thank you. The last one I have is A. John Fry.
Hi. Thank you. Sorry for coming in late. Can you hear me all right?
You're right on time.
Okay, great. So I just want to say I agree with the last two speakers. I am a mechanic, and I love machinery, and I absolutely love the sound of it. I love the smell of it. I love everything about it except what it's going to leave for my nephews and my nieces. And I've read enough to believe that we can power these machines alternatively with electricity and oil made from algae. And the harder you make it for the fossil fuel industries to do business as usual, the better, the sooner we're going to be on to cleaner power sources. So that aside, I just wanted to address the issue of drones. I read your article in the paper recently, or the journal's article regarding the controversy of drones. I'm not for or against them. I think they're a great technology when they're used right. I just want to relay a story that happened this weekend. I was visiting a property where I'm thinking of building in Danby. I currently live in Newfield, and I heard this horrendous noise. First, I thought it was coyotes. Then I thought it was somebody with a weed whacker. Then I thought it was somebody with a two-cycle motorcycle down on the highway. And I couldn't see where this noise was coming from until out of the corner of my eye, this object fell from nowhere, slammed on the road, and then slid sideways. I had estimated it at about 2 pounds, and I knew immediately what it was. It was one of these four propeller drones. I walked over and picked it up, and about half an hour later, the owner turned up. And he told me that what happened was it got – he was flying strictly, like, by the camera, no line of sight. It got beyond his vision. He – lost, you know, his sense of orientation. He saw part of this community that I'm thinking of building in and tried to bring the drone back to him, but he lost radio communication, and it crashed. Now, if that had hit one of the toddlers, the several toddlers that walk around that loop where these houses are, it could potentially, I think it could have potentially killed the kid. If it had hit the windshield of my car moments before when I drove around that loop, it certainly would have broken the windshield of the car. So I think there's more than just the privacy issue. There's some safety issues. I know you can't usurp, is that the correct word, the FAA, but there's more to it than the privacy issues. And I read the comments in the paper from the people who were here talking about privacy issues, and I don't agree with them. My cell phone in my pocket turned off at the moment in itself doesn't prevent a privacy issue. But anyone in this room, if you're doing something you don't want me to photograph and I don't have the common decency, or I'm not a law-abiding person, and I just go and take your picture and put it on the internet for whatever reason, it becomes a privacy issue with the cell phone, right? Because, I mean, why do you have warning labels and why do you have laws for that 1% of people who just, you know, don't know enough otherwise? So I just hope that as you go through this, you know, with the drones and whatever legislation you take into account, that you'll just remember, you know, the potential well-being, physical safety that poses to people. And, you know, it would be great if we could just say, at least just keep it in line of sight. There's a lot of radio control people. That's a great hobby. I wish I could afford it. But remote control airplanes have wings. And at least if they lose power, you have some time to glide somewhere where maybe you're not going to, like, land on somebody's head. So it's not really the same thing. Thanks.
Thank you. Carol's asked, could we move up the resolution regarding the gas pipeline? And if there's no objection, I'd like to go ahead and do that. That's out of Dooley's committee, isn't it?
So I would like to move Resolution J, Protecting Public Health
from the impacts of large-scale new pipeline projects and compressor stations. ID 5724.
Seconded by Dan Klein. Discussion? Carol Chalk.
Well, I'd like to thank the people who came out to speak. I know how busy you all are with other things. And I just wanted to make it clear for the public. It seemed from our particular speakers who came out tonight that it is understood. But I just wanted to make sure that it was clear what this resolution is and isn't. This resolution specifically addresses the impacts of large-scale new pipeline projects and compressor stations. You know, even in the title, we inserted the word large-scale. We refer to the interstate projects. And it is not weighing in, unless anybody wanted to, which I think would have to be done under a separate resolution at this point. It's really directed towards the larger scale, and it's not the local projects that we have discussed also. And even the name of Dominion's project that runs through Tompkins County, New Markets, is enough to distinguish it from the smaller scale projects where we have people coming to us saying, I need just an extension to my house or my business. New Markets, it's designed to open up very large pipes, increase pressure and volume, triple fold, we're going to increase the pressure. As you know, I first became aware of this, the Dominion project, the one that affects Tompkins County specifically, although there are other names for the pipelines, new large-scale pipelines across the state, when I learned that this pipeline currently runs, it's a 50 to 60-year-old pipeline that runs from the south western corner of the state, of the county, in the Enfield, Newfield area, across through part of the town of Danby, up into the town of Ithaca, across up into Ellis Hollow, and then out the east side towards Cortland. And that in our county, at least, I think people who live near the Borger compressor station may have received the required public notice, but technically, the FERC requirements, this is approved at the federal level, the FERC requirements seem to require, to me, to require them to notify all landowners along the pipe, along the route of the pipe, which would be many people throughout our county, maybe even county property, and nobody had received notices. I managed to get on their mailing list. I've been getting information, but not a lot comes out, and it's really up to the property owner to go and find out. And when we learned from Schoharie County that they had passed something much stronger than this, after the American Medical Society and the Medical Society of the State of New York had passed these resolutions, Julie and I modeled something after what they did and came back to Peak several times. So those were the things I wanted to say about this. I had questions I got from a colleague here that I couldn't answer, which was the AMA, how does it work? Who was it who approved this? So I researched that. And is their HOD policy is referred to. We didn't spell it out in here. We might want to. It stands for House of Delegates. And if either of the doctors in the room can explain to us any more about how the House of Delegates work, I did some research of my own, but you may know better than I do. It seemed to me that what that is the name for their governing body, and that this resolution was passed at the National Convention by the governing body of the National AMA, as well as the Medical Society of the State of New York, and that each medical society's top body seems to be called an HOD. Is that correct? That's one question that I have for you, and I thought other people might. So do you mind if I ask them, one of them, to come up, Dr. McKenzie?
Okay, there are other people that want to speak,
okay,
too, Carol, so
okay,
certainly, if you'd like to ask them a question.
Well, that was the question. Am I correct that that's what an HOD is?
The House of Delegates is the representative democracy of the state medical society.
Move that microphone up.
Can you hear me now? The House of Delegates is the state's representative democracy. I have served as a delegate from Tompkins County to the state HOD. It's where resolutions are generated to see whether they solicit support at the state level. Those that are supported at the state level have the option to go on at the HOD's request to the national level. And so it's basically a further step forward on the representation.
And so the fact that the AMA HOD passed a new policy and a resolution, that's who did it, was their HOD?
Yes, with votes from all 50 states and Puerto Rico and so on.
Martha Robertson, then Mike Sigler.
Thanks. I want to thank the speakers also. This is a good start on developing the information that we need. It took years to develop the information about hydraulic fracturing, and I think it's certainly time and timely to ask the state to look at this very important issue. And if it's okay, I think the Dooley, you're going to move your changes there. I thought we'd discuss those in committee. So those are important additions. I want to say just a word about, it seems to me there's the real place to address climate change and health issues and everything that's associated is with the demand for energy. And this is the, in the